Stick around to get your small business unstuck. More of Small Business Radio with Barry Moltz, now on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Well, there are two words that I believe we don't hear enough of these days, especially out in the public world. It's empathy and compassion. And in small business, they're usually two characteristics that actually come after profit. But now, growing companies are learning that the customer experience is becoming the key element to attract and retain customers, and empathy and compassion are two things that it's all about. My next guest is Maria Ross. She's the founder of the brand consultancy Red Slice, who believes cash flow, creativity, and compassion are not mutually exclusive. Maria's authored multiple books, including the forthcoming The Empathy Edge, Harnessing the Value of Compassion as an Engine for Success. Maria understands the power of empathy on the brand and personal levels. In 2008, shortly after launching her business, she suffered a ruptured brain aneurysm that almost killed her, inspired her memoir, Rebooting My Brain. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first, take us back to 2008 and that scary incident that happened to you.
Yeah, so like you said, I had just started my own business and, you know, prime of health. I was 35 at the time and active and all that good stuff, and had some symptoms. Luckily enough, it wasn't an instant thing, but I had some symptoms over the course of 2 months, and then one day just collapsed on my bathroom floor unconscious. Luckily, my husband was home when that happened, and I had a ruptured brain aneurysm that had been undetected, and I spent 6 weeks in the hospital, many more in group rehab and home rehab, and had to just reboot my life basically and change the way that I work. I had to adapt to some cognitive issues that resulted from the brain injury. But I learned so much in that experience that impacted my work, because while I was in the hospital, it was an amazing experience, which you don't often hear people say when they've been in a hospital. But I know
usually amazing experience and being in the hospital are mutually exclusive.
Exactly. That is usually mutually exclusive. But it was sort of after the fact. It was such an amazing experience that I ended up volunteering for the hospital as a patient advisor and being the voice of the patient. And what I came to learn was a lot of their policies and regulations that were operationalized were due to this initiative called Patient and Family Centered Care. And what that is it's something globally in healthcare where, shocking, they put the patient and their caregivers at the center of the experience. And so little things like being able to choose what you wanted to eat every day, or no visiting hours, or being able to find help from anyone at any time, even if that wasn't their job. You know, those made the experience so wonderful and made me want to give back. But what I learned later was that was actually an initiative based on empathy and, quite frankly, meant to impact the bottom line. And that's where I first saw the power of empathy, not just as something good and right and moral that we all think is great, but something that could impact a business positively, and also how an organization can operationalize it and not just rely on hiring a bunch of really nice people. So that was sort of my first entree into, like, what's this little secret of success going on here? And then I spent 3 years researching for the book, The Empathy Edge, and seeing that some of the most successful companies and brands we know, some of the most successful cultures are rooted in empathy, but not just talking about it, actually operationalizing it, hiring for it, rewarding for it, having accountability structures for it, and putting customer policies and procedures in place. So my work with small to mid-sized businesses, it holds true as well. And I included big companies and solopreneur companies in the book, because it doesn't matter how big you are or how many resources you have.
You know, this subject is so interesting to me because every day we see the public rhetoric is all about hate and division. Why have businesses taken a different approach and not done hate and division, and they've gone more towards empathy and compassion?
Well, I think the reason we're hearing about this more and more recently, a couple of drivers. Number one, the younger talent generations entering the workforce, millennials and Gen Z, they're demanding this kind of workplace and environment. They are more loyal to brands that care about the world, that show empathy, that treat their employees empathetically, but also as talent, they are demanding a workplace. I think over one study I found, over 70% of millennials want their workplace to feel like a second family. And that was not something I ever looked at when I was leaving college, right? But they're brave enough to say, look, hey, we're spending the bulk of our time at work. We want it to be a good, nurturing place. We want to treat people kindly. Because quite frankly, if we want a more empathetic world, we've got to start experimenting with strengthening that muscle in the place where we spend the bulk of our time. So that's one reason. The other reason is, you know, as I curated in the book, the data and the research is out there now that this is not just this fluffy, nice to have, oh, you know, we need to worry about revenue, we need to worry about customer loyalty. It all impacts that. And some of the most successful brands are successful because of their empathetic mindset and their empathetic policies. So, you know, now people can't argue with you, right? Now they're like, oh, okay, there's the data.
Well, they can still argue with you. There's always been the data, right?
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah.
So Maria, how do I, if I'm a small business owner and I want my company to be more empathetic and compassionate, how do I first cultivate a more empathetic brand?
Well, actually, you don't start with the brand, because that's actually the last thing you do. You have to start internally. A good brand starts from the inside out. And so in order for you to have an empathetic brand and walk the talk, you've got to engineer your business and your culture internally so that you can actually deliver on that brand promise in the world. So that's actually the mistake a lot of business owners make, is sort of like, how do I put this coat of brand paint on my business and make it
right. How can I put lipstick on a pig?
I'm empathetic. Exactly, right? And so those are going to be one-hit wonders. It's not going to be genuine. But what are you doing internally? Are you aligning? Is everyone aligned on mission and values? Are there internal policies or practices in place to foster empathy? Are you building a safe and trusting environment? You know, if your employees are fearful and don't feel like they are seen, heard, and understood, that's going to be reflected in the customer experience that they deliver. So what are you doing internally to help open collaboration and give people the flexibility to take risks and make mistakes and, you know, keep it so that they're not so busy watching their backs, that they're actually innovating and taking care of your customers? And of course, are you hiring right? Like, are you just hiring to the resume, or are you actually looking at emotional intelligence? Are you asking some key questions to get to what are their interpersonal relationships like? How do they deal with people who disagree with them? How do they collaborate? You know, instead of doing these cursory checks with their references about, you know, did you like working with them? Dig in. You know, how did they deal with if there was a contentious situation and people disagreed? How did they deal with taking on another person's perspective? So digging deep and creating that culture internally and that mindset and putting those policies, rewards, and accountability in place, because you can operationalize this stuff, so you make it really easy for people to default to the decision you want them to make, then you can start going, okay, we can now deliver this promise authentically to the world. And now you can look at your customer service policies, your technologies. You know, what are you doing to ensure that you are giving them the best experience from their point of view? Not the experience you think they should have, but the experience that they want.
So Maria, what are some concrete things? Where can I get started if I really want to have a more empathetic and compassionate company? Because I do believe, A, it's the right thing to do, and B, it'll make me more money.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to start, it has to start with yourself. It has to start at the individual level, as I said. So a few practices that people can do, a few exercises, if you will, to strengthen their empathy muscle. There's several listed in the book. I think I have about 7 or 8, and I go into detail on that. But let's just talk about maybe the top two, is that you have to practice presence. And that sounds woo-woo, and that sounds like I don't have time for that. But every interaction you go into can either make or break your success. And so it's on you to take a moment and ground yourself in what your intent is, what you're trying to do, get rid of your self-doubt, whatever you need to sort of take that step back and not go into situations with your customers or your employees where it's, here's why I'm going to tell them I'm right and they're wrong. So what do you do to get that presence? Some people do meditate, some people knit, some people go for a walk, some people just sit in silence with a cup of coffee every morning for 5 or 10 minutes, or even before a meeting, taking a couple of deep breaths. it does wonders to open up your mind so that you're able to have room to take on someone else's point of view and understand where they're coming from. And number two is, in those situations, whether with customers or employees, it's kind of a combination of being curious and practicing active listening. So curiosity is the number one trait of empathetic people. And again, instead of going in with that, I'm right, you're wrong, here's where I'm going to tell you what we need to do, when there's a difference of opinion, when someone's coming up with new ideas, when a customer's coming to you with a complaint, don't get defensive. Don't be about cramming your point of view on them, but ask questions. Become an investigative journalist. Why do you feel that way? What, tell me exactly what happened. How do you see success? What would you like the outcome of this to be? And as you start to ask them questions so they can express themselves, it diffuses the situation. So you start, you know, again, it's trite, but you become a model for success. And as you are successful and you are acting in these empathetic ways and you're strengthening that empathy muscle, number one, that's going to reflect in the culture, because people are going to go, oh, wow, the boss is doing that. You know, that's how you find success in this organization. It's not about stabbing people in the back. It's not about treating customers badly. So you've got to start there. You've got to start at that individual level. And then you can ripple out into things you can do with the culture and things you can do with the brand.
I think this is really important because it's very much like your customers, right? Most customers, especially when they have some kind of issue, they really just want to be listened to. They just want to have some empathy and compassion, even if there isn't a solution. And with our people that work with us, if we just listen, I think, Maria, you're right, it goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's another thing we should mention is that let's be very clear that empathy is about a perspective and a mindset. It's not about caving in to unreasonable demands. It's not about just giving people what they want. Quite frankly, it's not even about being nice. It's about how do you take on someone's point of view? How do you see things from their perspective? And the important part, then what is the action that that informs? What's the action that you take? Usually that results in a compassionate action. But this is not about just giving angry customers what they want, but exactly what you said. It's giving them the space to be listened to feel heard. Some of my most empathetic customer service experiences as a consumer, you know, might not have resulted in exactly what I thought it was going to result in. But in the way that the person treated me, I'm still loyal to the brand. I still feel like my input was important. One of the worst customer service experiences I had was with an online retailer. And they sent emails back to me that had, you know, scripted responses in each one that were supposed to fake empathy.
Right,
like,
exactly.
We're really sorry you had that experience, right? And that was in every email that the person sent. And then the person started blaming me for what went wrong. Well, you filled out the form wrong, or you did this. That is never what you want to do with a customer.
Absolutely.
Even if that is the case, right? So how do you make them feel that you are on their side?
So, Maria, the last question I want to ask you, how does technology affect this equation of empathy and compassion in the workplace?
Well, I think technology as an enabler can go a long way. I spoke to some folks for the book, especially where I was talking about building empathy in a remote working environment. And obviously doing things like using video conferencing and being able to see people's faces and spaces is really important to building a connection and seeing what's going on for people. But also being able to use collaboration channels like Slack, where remote workers or people that maybe are more introverted can still be part of what's going on in the organization. So that's a wonderful thing. Many companies have Slack channels for actual work and then also for fun stuff like movies or hobbies or vacation photos or whatever. And it really helps people get to know each other, because the idea is to get to know someone so you understand their context. And technology can enable you to do that. Secondly, from a customer point of view, you know, if you're only communicating with your customers via email or via a website, there's still room for empathy in there. There's still room for hiring the right humans behind the email to be able to adjust in the situation and provide a resolution that is what that customer is looking for and what that customer needs in the moment. So technology can foster empathy. It can also amplify very quickly a lack of empathy. So you just need to sort of like wield these tools carefully. But there's lots of opportunities to create connections with people you're not meeting face-to-face, with remote workers, with customers that are far away. It's having that perspective of everything that you write and everything that you do, how is this going to impact the person I'm sending this to or talking to? Like, how are they seeing the world?
Maria, I think this is such an important message for small business owners to listen to, because we all get caught up in the money and the profit and things like that. And we have to realize that if we can just really show empathy and compassion, and by the way, you really got to care. You just can't show it, right? It's got to be genuine.
Yeah.
Maria, where can people reach you and learn about what you're doing?
Well, my main hub is Red Slice, red-slice.com, and people can find all the socials are there. I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook/Red Slice, all that great stuff. And then they can also learn more about the book there as well.
Thanks so much for being on the show. This is AM 820 WCPT in Chicago. We'll be right back.